You guys are a fun crowd. You don't always get fun crowds in comedy. My first road gig ever as a comedian, I'm 6 months in. I know nothing about what I'm doing. Guy emails me. I say yes. I know nothing except the address. The address is 10 hours from my house. I get there. The gig is outside on a farm. The crowd, prisoners. I'm too new at comedy. I don't know how to talk to prisoners. Like, hey, what brought you here? I can't, like... The guy that books me is excited. He comes up. He's like, hey, thanks for coming. I know this isn't your ideal crowd, but you never know who's going to be here. Like, that's what I'm afraid of. These prisoners didn't know they were getting a comedian either. They just threw me on stage. Here's Lee Harden. I'm up there telling jokes. They don't know I'm telling jokes. They're looking at me like I'm the worst motivational speaker ever. So I bombed for 30 minutes. I'm ready to quit comedy at this point, and I'm getting paid, which is nice. So the guy pays me, and he's like, I'm so sorry. I know that was rough, but you were a lot better than what we had last year. Like, what did you have last year? It's like, nothing.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Front Runner Podcast. I am your host, Isaiah Marshall. And today we are continuing on with our discussion with Front Runner, Mr. Lee Harden. This is part two of our two-part discussion. In this episode, Lee will be sharing the beauty and challenges of stepping out on faith to living a life of purpose. We want to show you how to run your race to win. This is Front Runner, episode 15.
I know a lot of times, man, like as my creatives and, you know, I think, not just creatives, just us as in general, like people, it's like we often want to stay in our comfort zones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I think about this, like, so I mentioned earlier that, you know, I love the 800 meter race. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things about the 800 meters is that everybody starts in their own lane. You know, at the beginning, before they shoot the gun, everybody is in their own lane. You know, you start in your own lane. But there comes a time in the race where everybody has to kind of merge out of their lane, position themselves. And in other words, they have to get out of their comfort zone. They're trying to set themselves up to be successful during the race. They have to get out of our comfort zone. And I know that there's times in our journeys as creatives that we have to get out of our comfort zone. So can you think about moments that you've had to get out of your comfort zone, that or how important is getting out of your comfort zone to getting you to where you are now?
Oh man, there's enough bad gigs that have required you to be out of your comfort zone, man. Before I go into that, I did get to practice the 800 when I was in track.
Yeah.
And because I was trying to convince them to let me do that, because I was like, man, you guys get your races done out of the way. They're done. It's pretty thrilling in those, gosh, when they're in that stride on that track, like yes, running sir. As fast as you can, because you know the race is about to be over.
Mm-hmm.
That's taking me back. That was a thrill. That's I wish awesome, I could have done that in a real meet. Because I could hang, and I was trying to show the coaches I could do it. But
yeah.
Anyway, the gigs that will put you out of your comfort zone. I mean, my gosh, nursing homes. That was I got hired to do those. I agreed to do the gigs before I found out what they were, and then I found out it was a string of nursing homes, and I'm like, I have never felt more like a failure in my entire life than
mercy.
Because was it rewarding? Absolutely. But they have you with a mic and you're performing for a lot of non-functional people, and these are nursing homes where they are kind of at towards the end, and it's very sad, but these people are so grateful to have you. They may not be showing it, they may not be expressing it, mm-hmm. because they barely can they can't even get words out sometimes. So it was rewarding. I was grateful I got to be with those people a little bit. And the staff was very grateful, because they were like, yeah, we always have musicians, so this is refreshing that we got to do this. And wow. You're just like, all right, absolutely. But in your car on the way to the next nursing home, you're like, wow, this is where I've gotten to. I'm performing for not really a theater. I'm in a cafeteria. And so those are out of your comfort zones for different reasons. You're just like, that's going to tempt you if you're trying to make a career out of this. And you're like, okay, I went from a comedy special to this.
Wow.
So your flesh, as us church folk like to say, your flesh is telling you, all right, you're on the tail end. You're on the decline.
Yeah, man.
But you got to look at a bigger picture going, you know what, you got to make some people, you know, you got to brighten some people's day.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It just doesn't, on the shell of it, it doesn't look like you did, but you did. So that's out of your comfort zone. Corporate gigs can do that.
Cause I wonder, is it because giggle, it's like, it's just business people, like, you know, very serious people in those, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's just also depending on situation. A lot of them don't know how to set you up. They'll just have you with a mic. People are passing by, walking by, and they're like, you're going to tell your jokes in the middle of this hallway. And you're just like, well, I'll do it, but I don't know if they're going to listen. It'll be fine. And they don't listen. And then, so what that teaches you to do is act like a pro, not act jaded. Because if you act like a pro in these odd situations where you're just background music with your words, if they see that you can handle yourself like a pro, they will then go, oh, we didn't set him up the right way. Mm. Now we know for next time we do this, how to treat a performer. Now we know he needs a captive audience. Mm. So, and we appreciate the way he handled himself. That goes with hecklers too. If you get a heckler, and I don't know, there's videos on YouTube of comedian owns heckler and stuff like that. And I'm always like, well, that just makes them look like a jerk when they shut down a heckler. There's a way to play with it, ignore it. And almost every show when I've had to deal with one, the owners or the other crowd goes, I like the way you handled that. I try to play, but I don't try to like make them feel like garbage either. I mean, there might come a point where they have to get escorted out of the show, but I've never tried to like just really drag them through the mud, you know.
Yeah.
Some crowds like that. They do. They're like, oh, I love the way you just, you know, just made them feel horrible. I would, because I've tried doing that early on and the crowd doesn't want to engage with you. Like, wow, he just snapped, that guy. I'm not gonna.
Yeah. I'm afraid, it's almost this, like this, I'm afraid, cautious, of, you know, caution.
Yeah,
like,
I'm afraid. Yeah. I'm afraid of this guy now. All right. Yeah. Wow. So yeah, there's so many different versions of how to being uncomfortable and being out of your comfort zone. So,
but all of those things and getting out of your comfort zone, man, it's helped you though, right? Like it's helped you for the next thing, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's all like a growth and building, and it's like, but as you said, appreciating what's before you, even though it may be uncomfortable, it may not be ideal, but it's like, you appreciate it because it's helping you grow. It's you know, even though you may not see it in the moment, like there's a connection that you're having, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so,
and at the end of the day, my go-to of these horrible gigs, you're still making money. At the end of the day, I go, there's worse jobs to have, and I've had them. So I know.
Mm. Yeah. But you said a bar in there, like, you said, act like a pro and don't act like you're just background music. And I think,
right.
And that's, I don't want that to go over people's head. Cause I think that's, you know, such a powerful statement, because oftentimes we focus on the negative stuff. And we often feel like we're just background music, so to speak. You know what I mean? But man, like even in those moments where we feel like we're not set up and placed in a position, a good position or a position to win, we still have to act like a pro.
Yeah, man. There was a gig this summer. I was told they had comedians before. It was a youth camp at this university in Texas. Bunch of high school kids. I've done stuff like similar to that before, and it went well, and it was a big crowd, and it was a nice stage, and they were hyped up. But I was constantly getting interrupted. It was a fight because you couldn't finish a story. They would interrupt. You couldn't ask a question because they would answer it back. If you told a story, they would like 50 kids would yell out like, "Is that true?" It was just but it was weird because they weren't like, they didn't hate you. They were just so excited. And I had to fight that for a little bit because I'm like, I'm about to snap. But I'm like, well, they're excited. Let me just, they will chant for no reason if you say a word. And so it was like herding cats, you know, trying to herd a bunch of cats is how it felt. And I just had to sit back and enjoy and just go, all right. I just did my thing, did what I could, and did my best to not look flustered on stage. So kids, after I got off stage and remorseful, they all came up. They were like, "I'm so sorry. I was so disrespectful during the show." All of them came up. I was selling t-shirts and stickers, and I sold out completely of my stuff. They all felt so bad. They bought everything I had. But I'd like to think part of that is how I handled myself. I didn't come off jaded to these kids. I didn't come off like, I came here to tell jokes. Listen to me. I just kept a cool Joe Montana in the pocket type cool.
Yes, sir.
And, I think it helped. I don't know what that camp director did to scare the, you know, fear of God back into him.
Yeah.
But awesome. it was quite an experience. I couldn't say it was horrible because all the kids were like, "I'm so sorry. I was disrespectful." And I was doing my best to go, "Okay, did I look like I was angry? No. Okay. I wasn't angry. I promise." I kept trying to reiterate to these kids, I'm like, you were really excited. That's what it was. You were excited. I wouldn't call that disrespectful. You were just super excited. You couldn't, you know, you're teenagers. It's understood. So
that's awesome, man. Well, so, it was uncomfortable.
Oh yeah.
But you were able to endure
absolutely.
It, and you were able to get through it though. Man, that's good. That's a good.
Yeah. Point. It was like staring into like, it was like you're on the beach and just lots of waves were coming at you and you're like, all right, this is tough, but it's fun. So.
Man, so
everything's coming at you.
Before we move into this last segment, you know, that, you know, called rapid fire questions, where I just kind of ask you questions and you just kind of answer off the top of your head and, you know, with your heart. But I can remember listening to Hasan Minhaj, and he mentioned about something similar, like a very uncomfortable thing that he did, where I think he was at a college. So he got booked to come to this college. He said he got there and it was in like a cafeteria type of thing. And he said it was absolutely nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know what I mean? And so, but he saw the janitor or something, like the janitor was cleaning. And so the janitor was like his audience. But he was man, you know what? I could sit here, I could sulk. Or I can come up here and I can speak to this janitor like it's, 5,000 people here. And I'm like, man, I want to get to a point where I can say, man, regardless of what the context or what the situation is, I want to get up there as if it's the best or most ideal situation.
Oh, yeah, because you can almost abandon your act if it's just that janitor watching you. You can just be off the cuff and riff. Like, those are fun times. I mean, obviously, you want a big crowd to the work you've been putting your time into. But, yeah, small crowds like that. That's so fun because you can just have these ideas. And since it's a small crowd, you can trust them with your ideas. He saw that janitor react probably and went, okay, he's enjoying it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, for sure.
Am I getting paid for this? Cool. How many times are you at your fast food job or retail job going, oh, how many more hours? Sucks.
You're going to get
paid for like an hour at most, about the same you would for 2 weeks at a fast food gig. And you're like,
yeah,
this could be worse. You got to get rid of the, I'm a star mentality. Yeah, the small shows are so fun. I like the, it was Ohio 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The first show, it was a small crowd, and you just, there's always a quick joke. Thanks for coming out to the sold out show. And they obviously know it's not. And then it's still daylight behind the curtain. And you just go, all right, we're just going to pretend like we don't see the sun out in the middle of this comedy show. And they, if you just address those things, not in a cynical way, just if you joke with an audience member, you just go, hey, thanks for being a good sport. Please don't leave. We'll notice, you know? It's like,
yes, so it's like
the show just went from three people to two people. So you just, and then you can still do your act, but just, you gotta have fun with it. Addressing those small things, going, oh, he sees the same thing we see too. And that's so, awesome, it gives you a chance to, it's like, I don't know, preseason football, you know, you can drop a little bit, or, you know, the Pro Bowl. They're a little more relaxed when they play, you know.
It's
more. It's nothing's on the line. Not too much is on the line. So
it takes some self awareness. It takes, you have to be, sure of yourself in those instances. And it just, I know as people of faith, man, just not finding confidence in ourselves, but finding confidence in knowing that the Lord has given us a talent, an ability. And he has called us to this. He has placed us where we are in that moment for a specific reason. And he's going to use that moment, whether it's one person, whether it's 500 people, you know what I mean? 5,000 people, like he's going to use that moment. And so it's about appreciating those moments. And but you have to have some sense of self-awareness. And so when we...
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as we move into the rapid fire questions, I think that's sort of what we're getting at is like self-awareness. So I ask you questions and you can just kind of share from the heart. So when challenges arise in your life, who or where do you look to sustain you and help you get through?
Oh man. Woo, that's deep. I mean, hopefully your first reaction is, talking to God. I mean, if we believe what we believe, he's right there. You can do that instead of venting to your friends right away. I've definitely exhausted friendships by venting a lot. And so I'm trying to learn from that. Yeah. And I think the first person you can complain to, if you have to, is, God, he's right there. Yes. You know, there's definitely been shows where I'm like, why did that happen? So, he's the first person I think you should talk to. And then, outside of that, I mean, there's, a couple of friends I really trust and confide in, and I, will be honest and vulnerable with those guys. I think God first on that one. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah. So what are two or three things you appreciate most about yourself?
Man, it's tough. You should have asked me this before I got into comedy, because you start to hate yourself a little bit when you get into stand up. Kidding, but
I can imagine though. You know, you could be a little harder on yourself because you're.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah, that I appreciate about myself. I try not to take things too seriously. I'm always. It can be a default. I try to make jokes out of most situations. So I appreciate that I can think of a joke first before I go into, self-deprecating mode. I love that I grew up in the South. I love our summers. I love the people I grew up with. I love our attitude. I love that I can, drive around in my truck with my dog in the summer. Let's see. This will be super shallow. My hair. When the older you get, this is God's sense of humor. Guys will recede in their hairlines, but grow hair everywhere else. Their face gets more hair. Their arms get more hair. So God just takes the hair off the head and puts it everywhere else. My heart breaks. For that life, yes, I pray that I don't head that way. Every barber I've had has told me you should be fine based on the thickness of your hair. Because before this, I started to style it more thanks to, you know, Top Gun. I just wanted the Top Gun haircut.
Before this
life, I would grow it out to a very curly fro. I was known in college for having just this big.
Really?
Ronald McDonald. I'll show you pictures. Yeah, I've got some big, big fros. Okay. I was called Napoleon Dynamite by so many people. I'm thankful as time went on, because, you know, the other guys in your life, other people you see have a career, wife and kids. I didn't quite go that same path. So I at least was able, but their hair went away. So I was at least able to keep the hair.
Yes, sir.
It's crisp. I haven't lost
I'm
that.
I'm seeing it. Yeah, it's crisp.
Thank you. So I'm grateful that God has not taken that away from me. So I know that's a super shallow answer, but hey, you got to look at yourself in the mirror every day and you're going, thank God it's still here.
It's your answer though. You know what I mean? And I think this question is intentional because, you know, as you mentioned, like, especially as creatives, man, we could be so critical and hard on ourselves. And sometimes we have to take time and we may not ever have thought about that. Like, what do I appreciate about myself? But it's like, we have to take time to think about, man, what are some things about me that I really appreciate? You know what I mean?
For sure. Absolutely. So,
what do you want to be known for?
You know who I look to for that kind of answer is, or my example, Archie Manning.
Mm.
That dude, like, have you watched The Book of Manning?
I haven't watched it, no.
Please watch. It's very inspiring because, you know, he was a star quarterback and he got to play in the NFL for a long time. And he played on a really bad New Orleans team for several years. But if you look at him in interviews, he's always like, I don't know what you guys are seeing when you're talking about the negative stuff. I loved getting to play in the NFL. He was running for his life every play. Mm. His whole goal was he was always a very grateful guy. He wanted to be a good dad. He was very insistent on being a good dad.
Yeah.
He cared more about his character than his accomplishments. Mm. And you see that in his upbringing and I don't want to spoil anything, but like his dad dropped him off at Ole Miss where he played his college ball, became a star. And he was trying to figure out what to major in. And his dad was dropping him off and just like, man, don't worry about that stuff. Just worry about being a good guy. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's a takeaway. I've made a lot of mistakes.
As we all do.
You know, in my 37 years, willing mistakes too. You walk into a bad decision and you're just like, gosh, what was I doing? But Art, the thing he cared about most was being a good example for his kids. Like, he didn't try to make his kids pro athletes. He just wanted to be closer to him. That's why he would bring him to the NFL facility. He wasn't trying to show them like what a rock star he was. He was just, man, I just wanted to be around my kids.
That's awesome, man. Yes, sir.
So even in his interviews now, he doesn't look at the NFL being a negative experience or any of these being a negative experience. He was just like, I enjoyed it. That's a thing I aspire to go after is that same attitude. Working on it. I've definitely been plenty cynical in my life and negative and all that stuff. But you know, this the things we get to enjoy. It's I know we treat it like a big part of our life, but there's more to us than that thing. So that's partly why I probably have more non-comedian friends than comedian friends. You don't want that to be your only world. I mean, be professional in that world, be cordial and be good to those people you're around at that time. And I try to do that.
That's interesting. That's like, you know, being an athlete and only having athlete friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you spend a lot of time with them. That's valid. And, you know, and it almost seems intentional, but it's just kind of the way it worked out. I mean, I love comedy, but I feel like I have more, I connect more with non-comedy friends than, you know, comedian friends. I have them and I am close with a lot of them, but.
Now, how important are friendships or being in community to you?
Oh, huge. I mean, I've had, you know, lots of seasons of isolation, and I would take a couple of close friends over to that any day. I like my alone time for sure, but yeah. I've got a core group that I'm pretty much, you know, making time for them. Even to the point where if I was like, you know, if I was dating a girl, I would be like, all right, these people are really important to me. If you can hang with them, yes, you're good with me, type of thing. So I'm around these people a lot. I'm not gonna stop hanging with them for just one person. So so insanely crucial. I mean, scripture talks about that. So
a three strand cord is not easily broken. You know what I mean?
It's absolutely, like, absolutely.
We were created to be in community.
Yeah, and I do try to find other outlets for that too. I used to play in church a lot and church bands and stuff growing up, and it's been years since I got to do that. And started going to Crosspoint a couple of years ago, a big church in Nashville. They have a lot of campuses, and I found out how to get involved, how to audition, and that's been cool. I've been enjoying community in that way too, because lots of different walks of life. It's fun. I love being able to talk about movies with one guy, and the next thing I'm talking college football with this guy.
Yeah,
you realize how well rounded you might be. Like, oh, I can. I've got something to talk about with each of these guys and connect in different ways. So yeah, community is big for me.
Couple more. What is bringing you joy?
All right.
What is bringing you joy right now?
Oh man, I've got to say, right now, the basketball. I know it's a small thing, but it's been fun getting back into it.
Yeah,
and shooting around, and you know, some small perks. People were like, "Oh, you're looking tan." I'm like, "Thank you." Yeah. And so, because I'm a pretty pale guy outside of summer if I don't go outside, but and it's fun because it's a thing that if you're obsessed enough with something, you can get better at it. Mm. Am I going to go play in the G League or no? But am I going to go join a men's rec league? Probably not. But I've noticed the more I go, I'm working on my shot, and I'm making more than missing. You're like, all right, I wasn't doing this good when I first started, like, you know, in May. So it's nice to, it's fun to see like improvement. You can walk around, dribble, shoot, make more shots than miss.
That's awesome.
That's been fun. It's been my own little secret hideaway. So
that's awesome.
I'll be sad when it gets cold. So
man, yeah, me too. Being able to just move and go out like that. But
yeah.
Now last one. What does winning look like, and what does it mean to you?
What does winning look like, and what does it mean to me?
Yeah.
Oh man.
What is winning?
Oh,
we talk about, you know, we run to win, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause how do you, is it the temporary successes? Is it the long-term stuff? Is it the small things like being debt-free? Is it your attitude? If I had to guess, I'm going to go, gosh, cause we can look at the material things of, oh, I'm getting work, I'm winning, or I'm debt-free, I'm winning. I've got friends, I'm winning. I think the answer I'd like to go for is just long-term internally, and you know, how you act in success is the same as how you act in failure. So if I can have the same, because that is something I do think about a lot, how I handle the down times versus how I handle the good times.
Yeah.
And you know, my mom's really good about that. Having a good positive attitude, seeing the bigger picture thing in trying times. And so
awesome, bro.
Dabo Sweeney the same way. I'm sorry, this is a Clemson podcast apparently, but don't realize the dude was at Clemson 14 years before he won a two national championships. He wasn't a hot hire. He bloomed where he planted. And that came from his mindset. He had the same attitude when they were winning or losing. If they had a 6-win season, he just saw the positives and just, you know, cashed in on those positives and kept growing it that way. It was
Yeah.
Coach K from Duke, same way. He wasn't instant success either. That was, yes, he almost got fired a few times. He built that and he had the same attitude as time went on. Just the same, just developing, growing, always growing,
yes, sir,
attitude. So this positive outlook on things, whether it's bad or good, I think that's going to be winning for me. Like,
it's awesome.
People can go, wow, look what that guy went through. He didn't complain one bit. So,
amen.
That, I think ultimately that would be winning. So,
Lee Harden, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
podcaster, man, guitarist, comedian. Man, how can the listeners, how can they find you?
I mean, there's a website, leehardencomedy.com. Social media, Lee Harden Comedy, and that's H-A-R-D-I-N. A lot of people spell it with an E, or they add a G to it. Mm-hmm. Understandable. It's a more common way to spell my name. But there was Lee Harden Comedy on Facebook, but someone hacked that account. Yeah, and the sad part is they grew my fan page when they hacked it, so I'm just going to let them keep it. Yeah. Yeah, that's like someone stealing your identity and your credit score goes up. I'm just gonna let them keep it. So, you know, if you want to watch, they called me a video game designer on that page, and now there's animals chasing animals and killing them on that page. So if you want to look at Lee Harden Comedy, you can. It's just a lot of disturbing footage, but there isn't, and that's actually a fun page because I post a lot of reels on that, and I'm actually getting some decent views on the reels that I'm posting for comedian Lee Harden. So please check that out. I'm pretty frequent on that. The Lee Harden podcast, simple enough. It's a very wide range of guests I have. I don't have just comedians on there. I've got musicians, actors, I even have pro wrestlers sometimes on that show. And learning about those guys is very fascinating.
I'm sure.
Yeah. They live the grind like we all do when we're aspiring to do stuff. But yeah, the Lee Harden podcast. I'm trying to get more listeners on that. So yeah, there's a few ways. So
that's awesome, man. Well, now I would include that also in the show notes. But man, I appreciate you joining, just dropping wisdom and just sharing your experience, man. I think there's a lot that we can grow from. And you're a front runner. You took risks, you bet on yourself, you ran your race, and you ran to win.
Yeah.
And I think for any of those listeners, I think that's, you know, I think that's something that we can learn from and that we can grow from, is that, hey, if we ever felt like an underdog, we ever felt like the odds were against us, be a front runner. Take risks, bet on yourself, run your race. Run away. Well, I appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, thanks for having me, man. This was fun.
Man, it was. Well, until next time, this has been the Front Runner Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Isaiah Marshall. We'll see you soon.
My hope in the Lord is what I seek is face. I'm front running. I'm out front running. Oh, yeah. Front running. I'm out front running. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Underdog. But I stay underdog. I take my risks. That's why I beat the odds. Beat the odds. Front running. I'm out front running. Oh, yeah. Front running. I'm out front running. I run to win. That's why I run with him. Run with him. No looking back. I leave it on the track. I'm